So this year, 2025, we have taken as our text the word grow from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. If you haven't got a card yet, there's still some cards available. It's great to see some of these cards in people's houses, on fridges and places like that. So do grab one. I know it's a bit old-fashioned to have a card these days and you can't, but you can take a photo of it, put it on your phone and then have it as your screensaver or something like that. But do grab one, won't you? Because this is driving us through this year. A real desire that God would help us to grow individually, but also for us to grow as a church. Not only grow higher and wider in our spirituality, but also reach more people with the good news of Jesus. That as we as people grow and we become more like him, then we can't help but attract people to discover Jesus and to encounter him afresh. So do grab one of those this year. And so we're in this little mini-series looking at some of the stories Jesus told about what it looks like to grow. So this morning, if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn them on or open them up to Matthew chapter 13, very grateful to James last week for taking on the weeds. That was one I really didn't want to do. I know James didn't want to do the mustard seed, but I'd rather do the mustard seed than the weeds, to be honest. So I was very grateful when James wanted to talk about weeds. And thanks, James, for all that you brought to us during that one as well. But here's another couple of stories that Jesus told from Matthew chapter 13, and we start at verse 31. So Jesus, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked through all the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. That sounds pretty important to me, doesn't it? To hear things that were hidden since the creation of the world. Now, that was a long time ago in my understanding. And to have things revealed to us right from the very beginnings of creation is something that I think we're meant to hear and something that is transformative to us. So let's hear again what Jesus has to say to us as well. So these parables which we've just heard are spoken by Jesus to the people he was listening to. And if you've been following us over these last few weeks, we'll have heard the story of a farmer and seeds and soils and wheat that grew or didn't grow. We heard the story of a gardener and seeds and weeds and trees and a baker and dough and yeast. All these very practical and pragmatic stories that, although are set in a culture that is very different from ours, still have much to say to us even today as well. And for those who listened to these stories when Jesus first spoke them by the lake on that particular day, they too had to engage their minds to say, what is he talking about and who is it who is talking about these things? Jesus tells parables to reveal what is hidden, both in a prophetic way, but also I think in an apocalyptic way as well, pointing us to something beyond and in the future as well. But he's saying them to everyone who will take the time to hear them. Now, if you've had your Bibles, you'll see there's a little reference note at the end of the passage which points us to Psalm 78, verses 1 to 4. And I just want to read these because I think the full text of that quote that we've just heard is really interesting to hear. Jesus would often just quote one verse of a passage from the Old Testament because he knew that the people listening would know the context of it and would know what comes next in it as well. And sometimes I think we lose that because we are not so familiar with the Old Testament, obviously, as the first listeners to Jesus who were brought up with the Old Testament story. So this is the text, Psalm 78. My people Hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. And I think it's that full understanding that Jesus is trying to get to the crowd, and we too need to understand. There's something big going on with these small stories. There's something life-transforming from a small, very pragmatic story that we can still sort of understand in our context, but need to go a bit deeper to understand fully all that Jesus wants to say to us today in our context as well. Sorry, I've forgotten to click the clicker. Where's the clicker gone when I need it? I'm really sorry. I'm in control, and obviously I've lost it already. That was what I wanted to point you to. So I think we need to say that these parables are not only about now, but they're also about what's to come. Because this is how God works. Jesus wants to point to us to say, look for it, see it, respond to it every single day. There's a new age coming, but has already started. And these parables, these very simple stories, are to show us what it will look like and what the possibilities are when we let Jesus work in us and teach us these things that have been hidden since the beginning of the world. But it's also an invitation for us to say yes to what it is he's trying to say. The writer Stanley Hauerwas, in his commentary on Matthew, he says this about Jesus. Jesus is the parable of the Father making manifest what was present in the beginning. And so when we listen to these stories, we are going way back before Jesus for him to reveal to us exactly what God has in store, what God embedded in the very heart of his creative process in the beginning. And our challenge, I believe, and our responsibility is that we see Jesus and we see the kingdom in all the stories he tells, knowing that no word is wasted, no word is insignificant, as it paints the picture and invites us to come into the kingdom, to participate it, and to join the mission that he is talking about through them as well. Now, at the end of this sequence of parables that we started a couple of weeks ago, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 51, Jesus has something really interesting to say to his disciples. Have you understood all these things? And I think very naively, the disciples thought, you know what the right answer is? I think we should give that. Yes. But I have a feeling they didn't fully understand exactly what Jesus was talking about. I think, like for us today, there is much more to discover and discern from what it is Jesus is saying. Now, I don't disagree that their yes was the response they wanted to make, but it was almost like making a promise to Jesus. We don't fully understand all of this, but we promise that we're going to keep following you and we're going to continue to listen to you as you unfold more and more of these mysteries of what was hidden from the creation of the world. I think their yes is like a decision to say, we're going to keep on growing. We're going to keep on following, believing, trusting you, and we're going to play our part as you unfold what the kingdom is going to look like and how we as individuals can play our part in its growth. And those who say yes are invited on that journey to grow with it. Now, as I alluded to when we came to prayer, I'm sure that, like me, as you've looked around the world this week, you will have asked the question, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he intervene in this particular situation that is on my heart, in the life of this person who I care about so much, and their life isn't what it should be. Maybe it's something happening in your own life right now, and you're crying out to God, God, would you do something about this? You'd love an answer to one of the many issues that are going on in our world right now. Not just those that get the headlines, but there are many others that all of us know about, that we care about, that matter to us as well. Because the world isn't as it should be, is it?
No.
Thank you. That was an opportunity for response. I know I often say rhetorical questions, but this was a response question. The world isn't as it should be, is it? See, my voice went up at the end. That's the clue, all right? Yeah, that's a question. Okay. But it's not. And these parables tell us something really important for us to remember. God, why aren't you doing anything? Well, the parable reminds us that God is doing something. He's always doing something. It may not be at the pace that we want him to do it. It might not be in the way that we hope that he might do it. But it's clear from all that Jesus said that he is definitely doing something. He always has been, and he always will. And Jesus was trying to help us to understand that reality. That even if it's slow, he's still at work through it. The farmer waits until harvest time and gathers the crop that has managed to grow in the good soil. The farmer sees the weeds growing right next to his wheat, but he leaves them and waits until the harvest for it to happen. The birds wait until that little seed grows into a tree, and then they can settle in its branches. The woman waits for the yeast to work into the whole batch of dough, and then she can bake the bread and enjoy its flavor. See, God is doing something, but we have to learn to wait. And we live in that tension of waiting all the time for God to finally act in the way that he will. See, these stories tell me that it is on its way. Whatever God's going to do, it is on its way. Whatever he's going to do in your life, or the life of the person you care about, or in our world, he is on his way. Because he's at work, impacting, making a difference, as we anticipate the coming of his kingdom. Remember, after years, centuries of waiting, Jesus came at just the right time. And those that were ready for his coming saw him and responded to him, recognizing that this was God at work in that moment. And we too, we live in anticipation of the coming of the kingdom, called to live the life of the kingdom now with anticipation of what will come. We're not being kept in the dark here by God. We're not stuck in some escape room waiting for the key to get out of it. The kingdom is here and it's now and it's at work and it's on its way. Imagine what it's going to look like. It's going to look like a farmer gathering his crop 30, 60, 100 fold. It's going to look like the farmer gathering his crop and separating the wheat and the weeds until he's got the wheat to sell to earn a living. It's going to look like a mustard seed that grows into a tree and the birds come and settle on it. It's going to look like a batch of dough that is going to rise and rise and rise and become beautiful, tasting, smelling bread for all to enjoy. Imagine what the kingdom is becoming. Imagine what it's going to be. And I think it is our imagination that Jesus engages so well in these simple stories. But he asks us to play our part, to use our imagination, to think about what does this mean for me today and for tomorrow and for the days to come. And what does that mean into how I live my life every single day in the light of the kingdom that is now and is still to come. Imagine. I love the fact that he explained two parables, the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds, and he only explained them to the disciples. The crowd had to think about it for themselves, and that is what they would do. There's no explanation of the parable of the mustard seed. It's up to us to think about what it means. There's no explanation of the parable of the yeast. It's up to me to listen and to imagine what he is trying to say. And that's what we need to do if we're going to grow in the way that he's calling us to grow. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man planted in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 30 kilograms. Do you know how much 30 kilograms is in proper measure? 66 pounds. 66 pounds of flour mixing with that dough. That would have taken some energy, wouldn't it? That would have taken some doing, some kneading. Dear me. But the question is, how is it like them? How is the kingdom like a mustard seed? How is the kingdom like yeast in a dough? What are the listeners going to make of these stories? Now, firstly, I want us to get a few things straight. We need to deal with the fact that the mustard seed is not the smallest seed. Comes as a bit of a shock, really, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus said it was. I'm sorry to disagree with him, but it is not the smallest seed. Apparently, it is the epiphytic orchid seed that is the smallest seed known in our world. And you can get 35 million epiphytic orchid seeds in 1 ounce, 28 grams. I don't know who's counted them, but thank you to whoever counted them and put them on Wikipedia so that I didn't have to bother with that as well. Now, the mustard seed is small. Yeah, you've probably seen a mustard seed when you were at school. Did anybody grow a mustard seed on a bit of blotting paper? Yeah? All those old as me, yep, okay. That was always science. Was it? Or cotton wool. Oh, you went up in the... You're obviously younger than me. Blotting paper was the thing that we dealt with, yeah. And it is small, but you can see it and you can plant it. But Jesus is being very provocative here. That's what we need to understand about Jesus. He doesn't waste words like some preachers I know. But anyway, he doesn't waste his words. Now, in the Jewish Mishnah, which is a collection of the rabbinic traditions and teachings which supplement and clarify the Torah, that is the first five books of the Bible, in the Mishnah, you've got all the things that go behind some of the laws. So, for example, when the Torah commands observe the Sabbath day, the Mishnah specifies 39 categories of forbidden work because of that commandment. Okay? So it says this, you can't do this, you can't do this. This is what work means. Observe the Sabbath, you can't do this, 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 and this. You can only walk so far. You can only do this, you can only do this. Remember, Jesus had a bit of a fallout with some of them when his disciples were gathering grain on the Sabbath day, running through the field. And they were told off for doing it because work meant you couldn't move through a wheat field and harvest it by just gathering the grain. But anyway, loads of things. So the Mishnah has all these extra rules under all the particular headings. Now, the Mishnah forbids the sowing of mustard seeds in a garden. Okay? So imagine Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's like, oh, shock, horror. You cannot plant a mustard seed because according to the Mishnah, it is a useless, annoying weed. Okay? So Jesus being very provocative to the crowd here who would have known that mustard seeds couldn't be planted. Secondly, it is difficult to call mustard a tree. Okay? It's more of a bush and a shrub, and unlikely that birds of the air would perch on its branches. So why is Jesus using this image of a mustard seed that grows into a tree? What is Jesus doing here? It's time to think. That first crowd by the lake, they had to think, what is he doing here? What is he saying? I don't want an answer. This is rhetorical today. I went down with my voice, not up. But it's good to think. And that's the question I think we've got to ask ourselves as we hear this story today. Jesus wants listeners to listen, you see. He wants them to imagine, what is he saying? If this is a picture, an image of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, what does it mean? And if we stop listening because a mustard seed is not the smallest seed, and mustard can't really be described as a tree, then I think we've missed the point. So what is the point? Do you want a bit more time? Think about it. At our previous home that we lived in before moving here to Newcastle, when we arrived, the garden was a complete disaster. And it hadn't received any love and attention for many, many years. And it contained five stagnant ponds that I think at one point were all linked together and had magnificent fountains and beautiful fish and waterfalls, but over the years had grown into disarray. Everything overgrown, everything unloved. So for some reason, I don't know what it was, I set about trying to tame the garden again. We were there for 13 years, and I have to say, by the end of 13 years, I'd almost managed it, but not quite. But in the midst of a very good-sized garden, I discovered paths that hadn't been walked on for many, many years. I discovered plants that hadn't seen the sun for decades. And I also discovered bamboo aplenty in that place. Now, if you know anything about bamboo, it tends to grow. And I understand why it's called boo at the end of it, because every time I went to the garden, that is exactly what I could say. Boo, I'm going to have to try and do this again. So much bamboo, because untended, it spreads and spreads, and nothing can stop it. Concrete can't stop it, fences don't stop it, other plants can't stop it, nothing can stop it, and even my best attention over many years couldn't stop it. It spread all over our garden, it spread through the fence to next door's garden as well, and as much as I tried to get rid of it, it won the battle every time. And as I understand it, a mustard plant is very similar. And that's why the missioner banned it, and that's why Jesus used it, to illustrate what the kingdom of God is like. Because once the kingdom is planted, it spreads, and nothing and no one can stop it. Imagine if the kingdom started spreading to your next door neighbor. Imagine if the kingdom started spreading to your colleague sat at the desk next to you. Imagine if the kingdom started moving to the person that you share an activity or hobby with during the week. Imagine what can happen with faith as small as a mustard seed starts growing when we plant that seed of faith in our lives every single day. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 17:20? Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible for you. Imagine having faith as small as a mustard seed and planting it. And seeing what happens when you do. See, the kingdom of God starts in very small ways, quiet ways, behind the scenes sort of ways, often unnoticed ways, maybe to a smile to someone who you've never engaged with or had a conversation with, but you've just passed in the corridor at work. Maybe an act of kindness for someone who maybe is a stranger to you, but you leave something on their doorstep as a gift of love to them. Maybe helping someone, maybe inviting someone, maybe welcoming someone. See, when you're feeling overwhelmed by the world as it is today, if you do, you can do for one person what you would love to do for everyone. You might not be able to solve the crisis in Ukraine or in Israel or Gaza, but you can do for one person what you'd love to do for everyone. If it's on your heart that you want to bring peace between Israel and Palestine and Gaza, We'll start by bringing peace between you and someone else. It's a great place to start. And I think that's how the kingdom begins to grow, in secret. And who knows what happens next? Nothing is impossible for you. Did you see that? Nothing is impossible. And I know in our modern age we're all skeptical. And we're all going to say, yeah, I know, but... But nothing is impossible for the person who plants a faith as small as a mustard seed into the ground. Imagine how far the unruly plant of faith can spread, but it has to be planted before it will spread. Imagine the impact that your faith, as small as a mustard seed, could make in the places you're going to be in this week, with the people you're going to spend time with this week, doing the sort of things that you do every single week on your front line. Imagine how the kingdom begins to grow. And then we've got the tree. And again, Jesus being very provocative to the hearers who would have known what lay behind the image of the mustard of a tree in their day. Familiar to many of the listeners. I mean, trees were all over the Old Testament narrative, aren't they? From their abundance in the Garden of Eden to the two trees in the middle of the garden. The one tree, the tree of life, the other, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then as we move through into the books of prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 17, 22. This is what the prophet says. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? With his image of a tree that the birds come and settle on it? Do you see what he's doing? Daniel chapter 4. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it every creature was fed. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? Explaining what the kingdom's like. A place of welcome for all, a place of hospitality, a place of shelter for everyone. This far-reaching kingdom of God, bigger than the people of Israel could even imagine it, and bigger than we can dream of as well. And it's the same with the yeast. The yeast, when added to a huge batch of flour, is kneaded in, and as soon as it's kneaded in, you can't see the yeast anymore. You can't see where the yeast has been. You can't see where it is. It's just there, and it's going to do its stuff. You can't take the yeast out of it anymore. It's there, and it's growing, and it will grow that batch of dough, growing until it's ready to be baked and then ready to be enjoyed. Imagine 66 pounds of flour. How many people could that feed once it turns into bread? See, God's people can make a difference with every decision they make to live as people of the kingdom on our front lines. And for all the despair, as we look at the world as it is today, Jesus says, here's a picture of what the world could be. When God's people plant the small seed of faith, and when God's people add the yeast of hope to the dough that is there, something that starts out small grows into something big, and something that starts off weak grows into something strong. See, Jesus is playing with our imagination in these stories. Because he wants us to break the boundaries we put on what he can do and on what we can do in this day. He wants to help us grow wider and taller and deeper, to do more than we think we can and we think he can do. And that's how the kingdom is going to keep growing every single day. It can't be protected. It can't be tamed. It can't be sanitized or contained or restrained. When his people plant the seed, put the yeast in, the kingdom has no bounds. And this is the good news, that there is shelter in the garden big enough for everyone. And there is food on the table enough for all. Ephesians 3:20 says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's how the kingdom grows through each of us as we play our part as part of that kingdom now. When is it going to happen? Now, it says. Now to him who is able. What's going to happen? Well, more than we can imagine is going to happen. How is it going to happen? Because his power is at work in us. See, Jesus showed us how all of this is possible, not through domination or control, but through love and grace, service and sacrifice, because that's the sort of power that Jesus demonstrated on the cross. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, he calls that type of power left-handed power. Right-handed power for Martin Luther is domination and control. But he called the way of Jesus left-handed power that plants grace to all and will respond to his love by giving it away. See, God is a God of infinite power. When you've got infinite power, what is left for you but to give it away? And he gave it away through Jesus to all those who would receive the seed of the kingdom that would begin to grow. See, his kingdom is growing, and he is patient. He waits, and he is working and transforming what is possible with divine love, with stories that captivate and compel us to long for and to work for what is possible with him. So imagine what could be. The kingdom of heaven is like a small seed that grows into an unruly and untamable plant, big enough to provide room for everyone to find rest and shelter on it. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that transforms a lump of dough into tasty bread that is enough to feed everyone. So today, you are invited to make an impact in the world as it is by imagining how the kingdom could grow and investing your life to build the world as it should be. So will you commit yourself to grow and live it out now? Jesus trusts us with these stories. He trusts us with what these stories are saying. So whoever has ears, respond to what you hear today. Whoever has ears, let them hear.